Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom,
you know, we have to come in the way the Most High says. And then, as I've said, you know, all through, we have to set the correct expectation for people when they're coming in so that they won't come in and then fall back, but that they will be dedicated to the Most High because they will understand what they're coming into and they would have considered the cost. Let us do the necessary. Let's do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and we will begin this newcomer's class. We want to greet you no matter where you may be, on the Internet in general, Dial Talk, on Blog Talk, in North America, South America, on the European continent, on the African continent. We greet you all in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this day. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. We lift you up, Father, and we magnify your name. We give you glory and honor and praise, Father. We present ourselves a living sacrifice to you, acceptable and holy, which is our reasonable service, Father. And we just want to honor you in our walk. We want to honor you in our talk. We just want to be your children, Father, and we magnify you. Hallelujah. We extol you. We lift you up. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Father, and there is none like you. There is none like you, our Elohim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ladies, cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Let us turn to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 46. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, they being Israel, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. for they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, the more so the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. We have been dealing with Yah's plan of salvation, and we've been dealing with sin and what is sin. And been talking about sins of commission and sins of omission, where we do something we're not supposed to do, or we don't do something we're supposed to do. We've been talking about depravity, you know, man's corrupt nature to just sin. You know, even when he's trying to do right, it's still within us to do evil, wickedness. And we have to overcome that nature. We have to know what we're up against and come against it. We have to fight it daily. Because this flesh, in this flesh, is no good thing. So we have to fight with it on a daily basis. We're going to be talking about today how we receive salvation. Because, you know, a lot of the churches that you take, if you say the sinner's prayer, or if you just be a good person and you keep the law, we know that those things are not totally true in the word. So let us go to the book of Ephesians first. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. And this is group participation, so I'm going to open up your mic, your phones. If you unmute, you're in. If you have something to say, you know, just unmute yourself and say excuse me or whatever. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verses, we're going to do verses 8 and 9. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. All right, amen, my sister. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, we've been talking about faith the last week. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. We know that the Most High wants us to have faith in his word. He wants us to believe his word, but not only just believe it, but also to do it. So by grace are you saved, through faith. Faith in what Messiah is. Faith in that what the Most High said, that he would send a Messiah. He was sent a Savior, and that Messiah came, and he did what the scripture said that he did. And so if we believe that, we have faith in it, then we're going to do what the scriptures say to do in order to be saved. And that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of Yah, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, we talked about this, and this is sort of an overview. We talked about this last week. No matter how good you are, you would never be good enough to make it into the kingdom without Messiah. And so he says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't need Messiah. He didn't, you know, he didn't need to come for me. You know, but we understand that our very conception was sin. And so all have sinned. It's the way we were conceived. So we can't boast because we needed Messiah to get out of that condition. And the Most High only provided that way. There's no other way. Have to accept Messiah, Yeshua, that he is the Messiah, that he came and he died on the cross. He was the lamb that was slain, and that his blood cleansed us from all sin. So we have to first believe that, and then believing it, then we have to do what the scriptures say. That's what your faith is, what you believe, until the depth that you believe it, in something that you can't see. None of us has ever seen the Most High, not face to face. None of us can say, yeah, for sure, that's the Most High right there. I saw him. He talked to me. He said, yada, yada, yada. So we believe in him by faith. We haven't seen him, but we believe that he is. That's our faith. When should we seek salvation? When should we seek it? When we're young, when we're old, when we're through sinning. But when we think we're finished sinning, when we had a close call with death, what does the scripture say? Let's go to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 27. The book of Proverbs, chapter 27, we're going to get verse 1. And when you have it, if you say amen. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Proverbs 27 and 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't brag about tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow ain't promised to you. You can go to sleep tonight and be one of the ones that don't wake up. Don't make it through tonight. For whatever the reason. So the day that you hear his voice says, harden not your heart. The day that you are convicted in your heart that I'm not in a right relationship with the creator of the world. That's the day you should come. As soon as you hear the good news or the truth, you should be convicted that, you know what? I am a sinner. I have been doing what I know, you know, is not right. I may not know everything, but I know these things that I've done are not right. And when we come and we read the word of the Most High, we learn about his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, the more that the law will convict us that we are sinners, that we're walking out of lockstep with the Most High. And so the day that you hear it, that's when you should come. Don't think, well, you know, I got time. I'm young. Or I don't do much. I stay in the house. You know, I can study a little bit. Or, you know, I still got time to chase after this man or this woman, or to get my degree, my master's or my doctor's degree, and I'll come to the Most High. Whatever the reason, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart, because you may not have tomorrow. It's like the rich man in the parable. That, you know, he had gathered a lot of things, and it filled his house up. He says, you know what? I need more space to store my stuff. And so he built some big old barns, some brand new barns, and put his stuff in there. And then the Most High said, you know what? Somebody else, all that stuff that you put in your security in, somebody else is going to get it because you won't be here tomorrow. So you've been trying to secure yourself with your own strength and putting your faith in your own ability to secure you, and you can't even save yourself from tomorrow. You can't save yourself from what's coming. So you may not even have a chance. So while you yet can, anybody that, you know, you witness to, while they are yet able to, if they have not come to the Most High, you need to be encouraging them to come then. Come and learn about the Most High Elohim, the God of the universe, the Elohim of the universe, the creator of the world. Come and learn how you need to be in a relationship with him. But see, as I said, from the very beginning, we need to set the correct expectation, okay? Because a lot of us coming out of the church, we know the truth. We either felt like we were lied to or we were half-taught. We weren't taught the things that we needed. You know, and one of those first things is to fear the Most High Elohim, to fear him. This is the first thing he told Israel. I'm coming to show you myself. You're going to hear me coming. You're going to see this dark cloud coming down. I'm going to come down and visit, but you're not going to actually see me. But you're going to see my presence. And he did it in such a way to cause them to fear him. That's what he wants from us. But it wants to be a genuine fear because you need to know, you need to fear him. You know, everybody wants this loving, kind, merciful, gracious Elohim, always, forever forgiving, but don't understand that he said, there's a time I'm going to come, and I'm coming to judge. And when I come to judge, it's too late. So because you don't see judgment right now, because you don't see somebody being put to death for their sin right now, you might think, well, you know, he ain't going to really do that. Or you might say, what I've been taught is God is a loving God, and he won't do that. Or God is a loving God, and he wouldn't have all these people killed. Or he wouldn't kill all of us like that. That is not the Elohim that's in the Bible. You are worshiping something else, but not the Most High Elohim. They're worshiping not the Most High God out of the Bible. They have made up a God in their mind. Somebody has taught them a God that is not the God of the Bible. So they need to come and understand that the God of the Bible says he will and is going to do terrible things so that they understand that there is repercussions, real penalty for disobeying him. And because, you know, you might not see it right away, don't think that he's weak. Don't think that he's not going to take action. So, you know, I know the church has never taught me to fear the Most High. That's something that I believe for a lot of people, it's either there, and for a lot of us, it's not. And some of us have to, quote, unquote, learn to fear him because we weren't taught to, and it wasn't our natural inclination to fear him. Go to the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah chapter 55, because, again, you don't know if tomorrow is promised to you, and if you don't have a natural fear, a honest fear of the Most High, you might think that, you know, he ain't going to do what he say. Yeah, I hear that stuff, but even, you know, you got people just be bold. If he'll do that, he can't be my God. He can't be your God. He's not hurting me either way. It's going to be you that's in trouble. So, you know, if that's what your attitude is, then you need to check your own self. You need to check your attitude. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. And when we have it, we'll say amen. So I know we're there.
Amen.
Right, thank you. Seek ye Yah while he may be found.
Amen.
Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yah, and he will have mercy upon him. To our Yah, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, Yah has extreme mercy, and he will forgive you. He said there's only one sin you can commit that he won't forgive. That he won't forgive it. So I don't care how many people you killed. I don't care how much you fornicated, how much adultery you committed, how much you stole, how much you dishonored your mother and your father. The day that you hear his voice and you harden up your heart and you come to him and you confess these things to him, that this is you. You recognize that you are a quote-unquote sinner. He says, now, you recognize that you've come to me and you humbled yourself and you've asked for forgiveness. All your sin up to this point in past, forgiven. I'll forgive it all. You start off with a clean slate. As though, he says, and I will throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. I won't remember that sin anymore. And if he won't remember it, then, you know, we got to let people know and let them understand today when you come and you agree to be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, to go down in that water, all those things that you have done, the Most High will forgive them. You have to be sorry that you did them because you understand that you transgressed, you broke his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, or you sinned against your brother or your sister, your mother or your father, and you are sorry for it, and you're turning away from that behavior. Matter of fact, you're dying to it. That stuff I don't do anymore. That stuff I will not do anymore. I'm sorry that I did it. I really do hurt that I was that way with someone. And anybody that did it to me, I forgive them. I want to start over with a clean slate. This is what the Most High promised. I will forgive all your sins up to that point and past. And they have to come with that understanding and that expectation so that they don't just think that it's okay if they continue to sin. Because it's not okay, not according to this book. It's not okay with the Most High. So when they come, the expectation has to be set correctly. You know, we just don't go and throw them in the water because, I'm a sinner, but they don't understand the concept yet of they need to completely turn away from it and die to it. Because see, we've been teaching people lies. That's just the bottom line, lies. Because Mosiah says, Messiah was a payment for your sins that are past. So the day that you recognize it, you come to him, is now. I'm going to give you a clean slate. You go down in that water, I'm going to wash away all your sins, and I'm burying that old man with Christ, with Yeshua. You're burying him, and when you come up, you're a new creature. Clean, spotless, for the first time in your life, because you didn't even come out the womb that way. Hear what the Most High has done for us. You come out spotless. You come out in the newness of life. He says, now, seek ye the Holy Spirit. That's a whole other lesson, and we'll do that another time. Right now, we want to deal with the sin aspect of this and how the Most High looks at it and what we have taught people that's in error. So, you need to let them know everything that you've done, with the exception of this one thing. And I don't care who they are. You know, I can't make an excuse for them. If they've done something that is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, whether ignorantly or knowingly, the Scripture doesn't give us leeway. So that sin will not be forgiven. And the only thing I can tell that man or that woman, you need to go before the Most High and plead your case, and still serve him with everything that you have. How do you know if he might not repent of that for you? But I can't tell you, yeah, you're going to get into the kingdom. I can't go against what's written, okay? I can't go against, yes, can't do it. Won't do it. So I just simply tell that person, if they say that they've done that, you need to get on your knees and go before the Most High. You need to pour yourself out to him. You need to let him know that you, whatever the situation is, you didn't know or you knew and you were foolish, whatever it is, it needs to be heartfelt. It needs to be with godly sorrow. And then serve him the rest of your life. If he still throws you in the lake, oh well, at least you tried. And that's for each and every one of us because, you know, when we look at what the Most High is giving to us, where he's elevating us to as his children. When we don't recognize what that means and we take it for granted, then we are like Esau. We don't value our birthright. As the children of Elohim, as becoming the children of Elohim. It ain't no big thing. I just can't stop my ways. I can't change. Then you really, really don't value what it is that he has done for us. And so I want to make sure everybody understands what he has done for us. So if you decide to throw it away, you can't say you weren't told. And if you don't esteem this birthright that he has given us, that he has made us his children, and that comes with a birthright, it comes with an inheritance. And if we don't esteem it, if we don't value it, then we are Esau. We have that same spirit. We want to make sure that we understand that he will forgive the wicked. No matter how much bad you've done, if you're ready to turn your life around and to live for the Most High, we read that he says, hey, a wicked man repents of his sin, the Most High says, I'll forgive him. He says, if a righteous man begins his sin, then all of his righteousness shall not be counted for anything. So we have to understand what it is that we're coming into. We have to understand what the expectation is. Messiah said, consider the cost. What is this going to cost me? What do I have to give up? What am I going to have to stop doing? What am I going to have to start doing? Am I willing to pay that price? This is out of the mouth of our own Messiah. Consider the cost. Okay? Do you want this? Each and every person has to make that decision, and they have to make that decision with good, hard facts, good, hard data, not some made-up gospel, not some erroneous form of salvation, not serving the, and definitely not with the understanding of who the real Elohim is in their Bible. So they have to accept him for who he is, or they become idolaters. They become people who make up an Elohim in their mind. And that's their Elohim. And my Elohim is like this, and my Elohim is like that, and my Elohim wouldn't do this. And if my Elohim did that, I wouldn't serve. I mean, just all this nonsense. Got to make sure that they come correctly so that they're making a good decision from the beginning, and it's not based upon emotion. You see, a lot of times you can get hyped up and you get somebody to preach you happy, to excite you, and then you go make this decision out of emotion, but not really out of fact, and not really with your mind and your heart, so that you have a complete understanding. This is what I'm coming into. This is what I'm getting into. You know, I've seen a lot of, people that can preach people happy, get them excited, get them convicted, whatever it takes, and they're caught up in the moment. And when that emotion is gone, so is the desire to do the right thing. Then doubt starts to creep in. Then I don't know if I was just excited, or I don't know if he fooled me. You know, he made me feel this way, and now that feeling's gone, and I don't really feel that way right now, and I don't know if I'm really ready to commit to this like that. No, we want them to come and get the truth and the expectation, the right expectation set, so that when they make the decision one way or the other, one of the things they won't be able to say, they weren't taught, and that they weren't, conned into making this decision, or priests having, you know, made emotional, so they made this decision. You know, in time, trust me, the word will make them emotional once they realize the true situation. But when, you know, when you're a rank sinner, you are in the world, all you're doing is all you know is the world. You don't really know about Messiah. Even people who have been in the churches for years, even in some of the camps for years, don't really know. Because what they came to was, I need a social club. I need some place, you know, I want to feel some kind of right about myself, but I don't know what all I got to do. I don't know what it really takes. I don't know how I change from being this drug addict to living for the Most High Elohim. I don't even know what his statutes, laws, and commandments are. I don't know what's required. This is because I got to stop sinning. I don't even really know what that is. For that person and those individuals, then, you know, a foundation really has to be set for them. And the expectation has to be set. And then for us that's been sitting in the pews, you know, pew babies, and been living in the church or in the camps, going home and seeing people not living the life. And so we got, you know, we're kind of confused. We're preaching this, but we're doing this. We're teaching this, but we're doing this. Confusion. Not walking steady and upright before the Most High, saying one thing and doing another. Then, you know, we cause our children to be confused. We cause anybody that we deal with to be confused. So we, the people of the Most High, who truly are living this thing and walking this thing, we have to set the expectation. This is what you're coming into. This is what it's going to cost you. So that they have the information. They have the information. And it doesn't have to be, you know, then they can make a good decision for the Most High. They can make a good decision for the kingdom. And they can, you know, they can be, they can walk this walk because they have the correct expectation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to get verse 2. When should we be seeking salvation? Come while Yah Elohim can be found. Because there's going to come a time when this salvation, this window for salvation is going to close up. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and if you have it, you say amen. Let me get verse 2.
Amen.
All right, thank you. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The day you hear his voice, the day you hear the plan, the day you are convicted, then you need to let that person know you need to come. And you need to consider these things. You know, you don't have to beat them to death. You don't have to try to pressure them. All you got to do is teach them the word of Elohim. I want you to come start coming to this class so that you can learn what it is you're coming into. Not, you know, you get all hyped up and rah, 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 yeah. I'm a sinner. I'm this, I'm that. But as soon as you leave church, you already know you plan to go sin again anyway. You already had plans to do it when you came. And plan, you know, so, you know, it's funny to me, but, you know, we got people who, we want them to be convicted. We want them to know the truth. So when they come and say, I'm ready to accept the Most High as my master, as my redeemer, as my savior, I'm ready to become this child of the Most High and to walk holy, to be sanctified, I'm ready to start trying to achieve perfection. That he says, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. So that's a process. I'm ready to start doing those things. They need to understand what they're coming into. Now is the time. If you have fallen off the boat, if you have been not walking all that, if you know that you've been one leg in and one leg out, now is the time that you should come. As I said, you don't want to think that you got time and you don't wake up tomorrow. It's not promised to you. So a lot of people went to sleep last night and didn't wake up this morning. Thought they were going to wake up this morning. Went to sleep with the expectation they were going to wake up this morning. So you don't want to wait. You don't want to take that chance because you have to believe that the lake of fire really is. And, you know, a lot of, as I say, rank sinners, I'm not talking about people in church, but you still got people in church sinning, and I see people in the camp still sinning, and willfully sin, knowing that they're doing wrong, and continue to do it, okay? Tomorrow's not promised to them either. And if they don't repent, they shall die in their sin. And guess what? If they die in their sin, guess what happens? Wake up. You didn't make it. Get over here on the left, in the crowd on the left. What's that line for? Oh, you see that long line over there? You see that fire that they're walking into? That's your line. Go ahead and get in there. So we want to make sure that they understand not to do that. That they are ready and ready to make the commitment to the Most High, ready to enter into his kingdom because the kingdom is here already. They need to understand that they are defecting or vacating from the kingdom of the world, the kingdom that Satan runs. They need to make sure that they understand that. So when you're coming into this kingdom, there's statutes, laws, and commandments you got to obey. And you have to obey them. And it's kind of hard because you're still in this world and in this country. You know, you have a lot of people right now that the airways are being flooded with LGBT, okay? That's not of the Most High. And no matter how they try to turn it, twist it, or whatever, it's never going to be of the Most High. He's never going to accept that. So, you know, you have to tell him, hey, you can be gay, you just can't practice it. You can't be with another man or another woman. You have to remove that thing from your heart. Because the Most High is going to judge your heart. If your heart was to be with a man and you're a man, or your heart was to be with a woman and you're a woman, he's going to say that you're an abomination. That's just the fact of the scripture. But they're trying so hard to get along with the world that they're going for any and everything. And when you don't really keep the laws of the Most High, as I've said before, you cannot read in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not be gay. You can't get that from there. And if all you say you follow the Ten, or it's all you follow is the Nine, because most of them don't keep Sabbath either, so if all you follow is the Nine, then it's hard for you to teach against that. Because somebody say, hey, that's nowhere in your documentation. You say you keep the Ten Commandments, and it's all about love. I don't see anywhere in here where it says you can't be gay, not in the Ten Commandments. But if you keep all the law, if you teach all the law, the statutes and the commandments, then you will find it. And you will see it, and you say, hey, the Most High don't play that. That behavior will never be accepted. So if you are serving another God and your God says you can be gay, you need to take that over there with your God, because the God we serve don't play that. It's just that simple. So we can't conform to this world. We can only teach what thus says God Elohim in his word, and we don't have the authority to change the word. Let's look at what cleanses us from all our sins. What cleanses us from all our sins? Let's go to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. And if you'll have it, when you have it, just say amen. 1 John, chapter 1.
Amen.
All right, amen. 1 John, chapter 1. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua, HaMashiach, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It is his blood, the blood that he went to the cross and shed. That is what cleanses us, that sacrifice. The Most High allowed us to use the blood of bulls and goats in the past. He said, but I never wanted the blood of bulls and goats for sin, because the blood of bulls and goats and their fat burning on the altar actually is a sweet smell to me, but not when it's for your sin. It don't smell good to me then. This is something that I'm allowing you to do so that I don't have to kill you, so that I can allow you to have some peace with me. But the blood of bulls and goats never did pay for your sin. It was an interest payment. I'm still interested in you, but I need somebody that's able to come and pay the debt in full. That has to be a man. A bull and a goat never sinned against me like you did. I require the blood of a man. So we needed that perfect man to come. That's why Messiah could not have a man involved with his conception, because that would have made him a sinful being. We have to understand, again, how the Most High works in these things and what he has said. So let me take the man out of the picture. This child that is born into the world is going to be born sinless. And he's not going to sin. He's going to be tempted at every point like you were. And he's not going to sin. And now he's able to be that sacrifice. Was born without sin, did not sin, and came into the world to be the lamb, the sacrifice that the Most High requires that would pay the price in full. So it's his blood. When he went to the cross and died on the cross, and they stuck him with that spear, and blood and water came out, when he rose, he ascended up into the heavens and said, here is the price. It is paid in full. Now they can come. If they will believe that I am who that I say that I am, and that I died for their sin, then I'm going to allow them to get credit for death. This is what the Most High said. If they can believe on Messiah, then I'm going to give them credit for death, because they're supposed to die. But if you believe on Messiah and what he did, then you're going to be baptized into his death. And the Most High says, now, that old man, everything that he did, that old woman, everything that she did, you believe that Yeshua is the son of Elohim? Do you believe that he came and that he lived a sinless life and that he was able to pay the price that you couldn't pay for yourself? If you believe that, then Most High says, then I'm going to give you credit when you get baptized for death. And that old man, when you go down in that water, you're burying that old man, that old sinful man. You should not be being buried and being resurrected still that old sinful man, just coming out the water wet. Coming out the water, coming out of the grave, people come out of that grave, that water represents the grave as well. Supposed to be coming out of that grave, a new creature. Alive for the first time. See, we walking around now. That's why those movies, the Walking Dead, they are truer than you think. We just don't know it because we don't see people walking around as dead. But he says, you are dead in trespasses and sin. You just don't know it. And if you stay in trespasses and sin, when I resurrect you in the next life, you are dead still, and you go into the lake. So a lot of people who have never come to Messiah have never been alive spiritually. They have been dead their whole life. So come and receive life. Kill that old man, that old sinful man. Recognize everything that he does that is wicked. Repent of it and turn away from it. Go down into the water. Bury him in Messiah. When you come up, I'm not going to see the old you. This is what the Most High says. You're a new creature. Walk in the newness of life. Don't go and be sinning anymore. Don't go back and put yourself back in the same condition that I just got you out of, that Messiah died for. Don't go back and redo that stuff. Because, see, a lot of the times, you know, we go down, like I said, we go down in that water, we come back up. The relationship we in is not right, wasn't right from the beginning, and we're still in it, which means that we just enter, you know, we shacking up. We ain't married. And then we go and we sleep together. You can put yourself right back in bondage. You had those sticky hands and sticky fingers. And, you know, you have stopped stealing, but then for some reason, you can't help but, you know, I know this don't belong to me, but you're going to take it anyway. Whatever it is, we're supposed to be dead to it. And if we understand what Messiah went through, if we look, like I said, you need to look at the Passion of the Christ. If you've never watched that, because it is a very real rendition, depiction of what Messiah went through. I don't care if he was white, black, invisible, for anybody to have to go through what he went through. And then you realize who he is and had to go through that. If that doesn't do something to you, then I'm guaranteeing you that you're not serving the same Elohim. There's something really dead there. If you can watch that. Because it's one thing reading. It's another thing seeing. Does something to you. Okay, when you realize who it is and what he went through. So we have to learn to walk in the news. And if we're, as I said, if we are still walking around sinning after we've been baptized, then either we don't know what the scripture says concerning that, and we've been taught in error, or we don't care. Because I'm only human. That's what we will say. We will always throw, like if you're throwing a race card, no, we'll always throw the human card. I'm only human. The Most High says, uh-uh. You don't get to use that card. You don't get to rely on that excuse. And I don't care if you were taught in error. Because he says, you can believe a lie and be damned. Hear this, people, my brothers and my sisters. You can believe a lie and be damned because you chose to believe the lie. So he's not playing that. I'm here to tell you tonight. He's not playing that. We've been hoodwinked. We've been lied to. We've been taught in error. The truth of the matter is, you have to respect what Messiah did. You have to actually not only respect it, you have to revere it. You have to highly respect it. He went through that. Make it personal for me. So we have to understand that when we come to him, we can't take what he did lightly. And the scriptures teaches us that, that we can't take it lightly. So everybody that comes to him, as I said, if you're still walking that way now, you need to stop, you need to repent, and you need to go before him. I'm going to tell you now, you need to go before the Most High and either claim, just I would say you need to be, tell the truth. You can't lie anyway. But I didn't take it that serious. I didn't see it that way. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't my understanding. Whatever the case may be, you need to take it to him and say, hey, I'm sorry. I truly am. I'm sorry. I repent. I don't want to disrespect what Messiah did. And I won't do it ever again. That's serious. And this is what they're not teaching us, what they did not teach us. Oh, if you sin, he is true and just to forgive your sin. That scripture is there being taught out of context. You can use that one time, one and only one time. If you are first coming to him, and then you can use it when you sin ignorantly. I didn't know that was sin. You can use that verse then. But if you willfully, you know you're doing it, you can't use that verse. And this is what people need to understand. The Most High, he says, I will not be mocked. So we can play stupid all we want. We can play ignorant all we want. That's not going to work. And I'm here to tell you it's not going to work. Recognize what Messiah did. Reverence it because he made a way for you that you couldn't make for yourself. And then he's going to have you elevated to be a son, not a son of man, but a son of the Most High Elohim, a son of Yah. And you're going to take that and take it for granted. You're going to take that and not reverence it. You're going to take that and just treat it like humdrum. Like humdrum is like, oh, no big deal. No, he says, no, you need to esteem what I'm doing for you. You need to understand it, respect it, accept it, and walk in it. And if you can't walk in it, you are not worthy to be my child. Like Messiah said, if you love mother, father, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, anything more than you love me, you are not worthy, and you cannot be my disciple. You think the Most High is going to be any less? Any less? No, he's not. So we have to recognize what it is that we're coming into. We have to have the expectation. Each and every one of us has to have, you know, which one of us signs a contract, a lot of us probably do, don't read. Because the Most High is going to hold you to the contract, trust me. He's going to hold you to the covenant, which is even stronger than a contract. And if you do something that's worthy of death, he's going to give you death. Believe that. Don't have this false pretense that everybody but me. Because he says, I change not. I want you to consider this and we'll move on. Moses did one thing wrong in the eyes of the Most High. took credit for bringing water out of that rock. Shall we bring water out of this rock for you? And Most High, you know, it's like you can just say, what do you mean we? And he got on it. What do you mean we? You have taken my glory for that one thing. Come on, let me take you up on top of this mountain. You see that over there? That's the promised land. You ain't entering into it. You ain't going in. For that one act, you can look at it, but you ain't going in. Joshua will take them over. But you, coming up on your 120th year, get up on that mountain and die. Just about in just those words. The Most High doesn't play. And so we shouldn't take any of this for granted. Don't make excuses for yourself that, you know, I'll do better tomorrow. You better be doing better right now, because tomorrow ain't promised to you. And that's the expectation that each of us should walk every day. Tomorrow is not promised. I need to do my best today, because tomorrow is not promised. So the Most High, if Moses could do one thing and not make it in, you and I ought to be very, very afraid. Very afraid. If he would have Moses to be born and to bring his people out of Egypt, and he messed up one time, he said, uh-uh. The very thing I brought you out, that I had you to be born for, you don't get to go do it. So you and I ought to be very afraid. We should not take any of this for granted. None of it. Every day, you should be giving your best, because you know what? Tomorrow ain't promised to you. Just keep going. Can the law of Moses save us? Can the law of Moses save us? Go to the book of Romans, chapter 3. The book of Romans, chapter 3. And if you haven't, you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you, my sister. Romans, chapter 3, verse 20. Can the law of Moses save us? Therefore, by deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his God's sight. For the law is the knowledge of sin. So we keep the law. We're supposed to keep the law. But the law cannot save us. The law's purpose is to show you what sin is. That's its whole purpose. This is what the Most High says you should do or not do. And if you don't do these things, it is sin. That's his whole purpose. By the law is the knowledge of sin, so that we know how not to transgress. He says, but if you kept it perfectly, you still would need Messiah. The law could not save you. Because you'd be boasting. I didn't need Messiah to come for me. I'm walking perfect. He says, I came and died for sin, everybody's sin, because all have sinned. And if you say you haven't, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. And if you think that doing these things is enough to justify you to get into the kingdom of Elohim and sidestep Messiah, then you are deadly wrong. And your pride and your arrogance will take you down to the lake. So the law was given to us to show us what sin is, right from wrong. It was never intended to save us. It wasn't a mechanism that the Most High put in place. Let me show you what you're doing wrong first, so that you can know what you need to do, how you need to behave. I still need to do an act to save you, because I require blood, and the law don't have no blood in it. will sprinkle with blood, but not the blood to cover your sins. That was the blood of the covenant, a blood covenant between us. But it wasn't to save you from your sin. It was to show you what sin is. I require life for life. I require a life for a life. Now, as one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, by one man, Yeshua, shall I wipe that debt out. But this is the requirement of the Most High. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. The book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Elohim, Yeshua HaMashiach. Being justified by faith, by believing in what Messiah did, not by your keeping the law, and not that you're not supposed to keep the law, but the law won't save you. It was never designed to save you. Only through the blood of Mashiach. So the law was our schoolmaster to teach us what was right and what was wrong, to teach us the statutes, laws, and commandments, the oracles of the Most High. That's what its purpose was. They said the law won't save you. So you got to understand it. So don't think that you can start learning the law and start keeping the law and start doing everything right, eating clean, keeping the Ten Commandments and the others, probably about 600 other laws. Well, actually, 500 and something, because we know that the sacrificial law for sin was done away with. Messiah paid that price, at least for this time being. We don't have an altar to do the other sacrifices. Not that they were done away with, the peace offering, the meal offering stuff. It wasn't done away with. We just don't have an altar to do it on. And we can't just build an altar unless the Most High says to do so. He has to put his name there. So we just can't just, we're just going to start doing sacrifices. No, it doesn't work that way. So, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Yeshua. Want to be at peace with the Most High? Accept Messiah and then do what Messiah said. If you love me, Messiah said it himself. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, when you understand that he's the Elohim of the Old Testament, he didn't do away with the law. He says not one jot or tittle of it will pass away. So the same Elohim in the Old Testament said, keep my commandments. The same Elohim in the New Testament, as your Messiah, said, keep my commandments. Nothing has changed. By this shall I know that you love me, that you keep my commandments. Now, I don't know how a so-called Christian cannot read that and not come away with the understanding. There's some commandments I'm supposed to be keeping. But, you know, then when you use half of the Bible, when you don't read the Old Testament, all you're reading is the New, you're in trouble right there to begin with, okay? So by faith are we justified. Our faith in what Messiah did, our belief that he came, that he was crucified, and that he was raised again. Our faith in that, because if you believe that, then you're going to have to ask the questions just like all the other people ask on the day of Pentecost. What must we do? What must I do to get right with the Most High? What must I do to come into a right relationship with him? I don't want to be at odds with him. I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to transgress his laws. I want to be pleasing to him. What must I do? Each and every one of us had to ask ourselves that question at one time or another. If not, we need to now. What must I do? I believe that Messiah came and that he was crucified, that he shed his blood for me. I believe that he's the son of Elohim. That's what the scriptures tell me, how to relate to him. I believe that. What must I do? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be answering the question, why was the law given? Don't let the scriptures tell us. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. When you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men to break these commandments, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the scribes and the Pharisees, they were being hypocrites. They ain't one thing and doing another. Putting, you know, taxing people with to do this, but they themselves wasn't doing it. He says, now I want us to hear this. He says, hear what they say and do what they tell you to do. So it wasn't that they were actually really lying, but they weren't even doing what they said to do. So you got a lot of people out here preaching the law, but are they hypocrites? Are they saying one thing and doing another? That would be pharisaical. Not one jot and one tittle will not pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Let's go down to Matthew chapter 22. We don't want to be teaching people to not keep the commandments, to break the least of the commandments. You know, those things that won't even bring you death. Don't tell people, oh, it's okay. All you got to do is repent. All you got to do is say, I'm sorry, it's okay. That ain't unto death. You might supposed to lose a hand, but you weren't supposed to die for that. Or maybe they should have cut your tongue out or plucked your eyeball out because you couldn't keep them from roaming. But you weren't supposed to be killed for that. He says, no, don't teach them to break the least of the commandments. Okay? Matthew chapter 22. I'll be reading verses 37 through 40. You have it if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeshua said unto him, thou shalt love thy Yah with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Love. Love your fellow man. Love the Most High. He says he wants us to interpret the law through the filter of love. The Most High is love. And the commandment that he gave us was because he loves us. And he's not wanting them to be grievous to us. It should be a delight to us to keep them. And this is what was wrong with our forefathers. They weren't delighted to keep the statutes, law, the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. They actually found them grievous because they wouldn't even do it. They tried to make other people do it, but they wouldn't do it. It was grievous to them. But we should be happy to keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, to love him and to love our fellow man. Doesn't matter. Man is man. When man starts trying to play race and color and wealth and anything that he can use to distinguish or separate himself one from another, to try to make himself better than the other person, than the next person, that's the thing that caused problems. Because we try to elevate ourselves one above the other. I'm better than you. And even with Israel, we're the people of the book. We're better than all the nations. No, you're not. No, we're not. The Most High said, don't be prideful. Don't be puffed up. I have given you the statutes, laws, and commandments that you might teach other men how to behave with the Most High Elohim, the one and only true Elohim, the one and only true God. So don't become puffed up. And he says, I hate pride. I hate it. Don't think that you're all that in a bag of chips, because that's what we get. I'm a Hebrew Israelite, and we needed something to puff ourselves up because of coming out of slavery and being told that, hey, you're nothing. You're a brute beast. All you're good for is to hump and make up the slaves. And for labor, that's all you're good for. And so we needed and wanted something to lift us up. And when the Most High start revealing who we are, as a people, we got excited. We got an identity. This is who we are. But we got caught up in who we are and not in who we serve. Start going through the motion, putting all this storefront up in front of us, looking a part, but not being that part. And so we can't be that way. And we can't, say, oh, well, the Gentiles, this, the Gentiles, that. The Most I say, I have gone amongst the Gentiles to make a people, to take a people for my name. And then we read in Ezekiel chapter 47, he says, hey, the stranger, the Gentile that is born among you, that wants to be among you, that wants to serve me, they shall have an inheritance in the land. And it will be out of your inheritance. Wherever tribe they dwell in, give them their inheritance out of yours. And it's theirs. So, we can't be all puffed up. We are supposed to have the same nature as our Father, our Heavenly Father, our spiritual Father. Some of God, an Elohim of love and of mercy. But when I judge righteous judgment. And if you are worthy of death, I'm going to judge death. And if you are worthy of life, I'm going to judge life. So we have to be the same. We have to be compassionate because you know what? Everybody is in the same boat. We all struggling with this flesh. And some of us have more means to maybe make more money or to produce more crops or to have bigger schools, whatever it is. But we want to use those differences instead of using them for the well-being of all mankind. We want to use it to segregate and to cause there to be a division. When the truth of the matter is, no matter whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, or let's say a Hebrew or a Gentile, When we come into Messiah, we are supposed to come with one mind, one spirit, all of us, Jew and Gentile, one body. So you want to know who the true ones are? The ones that understand that we're supposed to come and be one people. We are one in Messiah. That is who's supposed to unite us. That is who's supposed to give us our direction. And when we're trying to segregate and distinguish and say, oh, these, you know, you got wicked Gentiles, you got wicked Hebrews. But when we come into Messiah, that's supposed to be a game changer. Problem is, people don't believe it. They don't believe it. Guess what? I can guarantee you, every one of them that have that mindset, that not to be one, is going to the lake. Going to the lake. And you can say, Brother Miles said that. Going to the lake, because it's not what the Most High wants. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Which we already read. Love the Most High. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't want nobody stealing from you, don't steal from nobody. If you don't want somebody sleeping with your spouse, don't sleep with somebody's spouse. If you don't want nobody hurting you, don't hurt nobody. If you need help, help somebody. Romans chapter 7, the book of Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans chapter 7, and we're going to get verse 7. And when you have it, if you say amen. And we're still looking at, why was the law given? To show us that the Most High is love and to keep his commandments. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Yah forbid. No, I had not known sin, but by the law. This is his purpose, to show me right from wrong. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. If the law didn't say it, it's all good. I see your stuff, you turn your back, I take it, it's all good. There ain't no law against it. But there is a law against it. And I wouldn't have known that except for by the law. We have to understand what the purpose of the law was, to show us right and wrong, to show us where we stood at. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 29. The book of Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 29. And when you have it, you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, our teacher, to bring us unto Christ. You are a sinner. Why are you a sinner? Because I said, you shall do these things or you shall not do these things. And if you do these things that I say not to do, you're a sinner. And if you don't do these things that I say to do, you're a sinner. For sin is the transgression of the law. So the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We need a way out of this sin. If we believe in Messiah, says then, I'm going to justify you by your faith in him. But faith, after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You're no longer under the schoolmaster, but you still can't just put away what the schoolmaster taught you. That's like going to school grades 11 through 12, and then when you graduate, you just forget everything that they taught you. You don't know how to add and subtract no more, don't know how to read, don't know any of that stuff. No, now you keep the law by your faith. And I think I'm going to have to redo that lesson so that we can go through, you know, the book of Galatians and the other books that show us that because you are up under faith, you keep the law because of your faith. Despise the law because of your faith. Well, I got faith. I believe Messiah came, and I can't walk perfect, so every time I sin, he'll forgive me. No, that's not what this book is teaching. That's what you've been taught, but that's not what this book is teaching. But after faith has come, you are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of Yah by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you got to be baptized into him, water baptized into him, and even spiritual baptized into him, into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, Christ is Mashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach holds the title of Christ. That title Christ has a couple of meanings, anointed, but it also means the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. So when Israel was in the wilderness and they were about to thirst to death from no water, says Christ was that rock that the Most High split open and brought them salvation. We are saved. We are not all going to thirst to death in this desert. Christ was that rock that the water flowed out of, the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. What do I need to do for you to bring you salvation? What do I need to do to cause you to continue and to walk in my way? That is Christ. That is the definition of Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And if you be Christ, this is what Israel needs to hear, because somehow this verse gets left out. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. It ain't got nothing to do with being of the flesh. We have a job, but the true salvation and being an Abraham seed, in order for us to get back in, we have to come through Christ. Just because we were born flesh and blood, a Hebrew Israelite, actually you were just born flesh and blood, a Hebrew. Because the Most High cut us off from being his people, an Israelite. And the only way to come back into that thing was through Messiah. So you got a lot of people out there claiming to be even Hebrew Israelites, and I'm not Hebrew Israelites, they're just Hebrews. They might as well call themselves Hebrew Americans or Hebrew Germans or Hebrew Canadians. Because until they come through Messiah, they are not an Israelite. And I pray that they get this one day. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This was the seed that was promised to Abraham. Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. So we got to understand, when we got cut off, got fired from doing our job, we got kicked out of the country, we were Hebrews. We were not Israelites. And so we're claiming something. We're putting a tag on ourselves for something that if you don't come through Messiah, you are just a Hebrew. I pray you can hear that. And I pray they can hear it, because you got a lot of Hebrews out there that don't really believe in Messiah. But won't call themselves a Hebrew Israelite. I hope that we can understand the word cut off. You shall be cut off from your people. You are no longer a citizen of this nation. When the Most High cuts us off, when he cut off Israel, our forefathers, you are no longer my people. You don't have the title of Israelite. I pray we can hear this. Romans chapter 6. So once we are taught by the law that we are sinners, it brings us to Christ. We come into Christ. We are saved by our faith in Christ. Not that we keep the law perfectly or anything like that. Now, the law is not done away with. But the Most High wants us to know and understand perfectly that if you don't accept Yeshua HaMashiach as your Savior, your Redeemer, you can keep all the law you want. And you can get up to the Most High and say, yep, you kept that law perfect. Bind him and put him in the lake. Because you don't get to disregard what Messiah did. You don't get to sidestep that. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. And I know you guys, I keep forgetting that I gave you guys all these scriptures printed out. But some of us don't have the document, so we want to give them a chance to get there as well. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. When you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Yeshua were baptized into his death. Look at the mechanism that the Most High is putting in place. You are a sinful creature. The law taught you that. The schoolmaster taught you that. Now that you know that you are a sinful creature and you are repenting of all your sins, all the transgressions, all the things that the law says you either did and wasn't supposed to do or didn't do and was supposed to do, you're repenting of your transgressions and you're turning away from them and you're dying to them, then you need to be baptized into Messiah's death. That's how the Most High is going to give you credit for death. All relationships end at death. A husband and a wife relationship ends at death. If her husband dies, she's free to go remarry. That relationship is over. The Most High says the relationship you and I have ends at death. So when you die to that old man and you are buried into and you are baptized into Messiah, I considered it an end to the old you and my relationship, and here comes the new you. And I consider you to be clean at that point. So you don't bury anything that is alive. You only bury those things that are dead. When you go in that water, you're supposed to be dead to yourself, to that old you, that old drug addict, that old alcoholic, that old pimp, that old prostitute, that old whatever in lifestyle that you were living. Dead to it. No longer me. Same body, different occupant. And you come up out of that water, come up out of that grave. You're baptized into Messiah's death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. When you come up out of that water, you need to be walking in the newness of life because you were dead. You just killed off that old person. Now walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That old man, whoever he was, whoever she was, that was contrary to the Most High, was supposed to be crucified with Christ. This is supposed to be your understanding. I killed that person off. They don't walk around. I don't walk around and talk like I used to talk. I don't walk around and act like I used to act. I am a new creature in Christ. This is what every person has to understand. They have to understand the process. Some of us, I won't say some of us, most of us, we first came to the Most High, we just went through the motions because nobody really taught us the process, what was actually happening, what was supposed to happen, why it was happening. We're just doing something. They said, hey, you need to get baptized. So we got baptized. But the Most High gives us the process. This is what's going on. So if you can understand it, you need, that old man needs to die. And when you come up out of that water, you are baptized into Christ. And when you come up out of that water, the Most High don't even see you anymore. He sees Christ. He sees his power and his wisdom unto salvation. And you need to walk in it. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer a transgressor. I don't have a stack of charges against me. My record has been expunged, erased. Now, why would I go and start stacking back up a bunch of charges? Why would I go and get another criminal record? You just wiped out my criminal record. So now let me go rob a bank again. Let me go stab somebody. Let me go and defile the temple. Let me go and do just some crazy stuff. I've been, my sins were washed away. And the only thing that's going to bring them back is if I go sin again. Can we see the process? Do we understand that the day you came up out of that water, you were clean? You were without spot? And then to turn around and go and get dirty all over again. I really do believe this is because we had no understanding. We weren't really being told, this is the process. This is what this means. So when you do this, understand what you're doing and what you're getting into. So that you can walk in it. You understand what it is. I know that if I sin, I know what that means now. Because trust me, I ain't going to never, ever let any of us forget. We do not want to willfully sin after we have come into the knowledge of the truth. That is a death sentence, and people don't know it. So it says, what you did to Messiah, you think sinning against those animals? You were the Lord over the animals. And your Lord, your master, your creator, your Elohim, he has come and paid the price for you, and you're just going to walk all over that? You're going to spit on that? You're going to treat it like it's, you know, like it's nothing? The fear of him won't make you not do it? Even just having the respect of what he did, you would not honor it and say, no, I'm not going to sin. I know what Messiah did. I know what he did for me. I know he washed away my sins. I'm not going to willfully sin ever again. I have respect unto what he did. But instead, we use it as like an ATM. Thinking that, oh, we just keep withdrawing salvation. When the word says no, no, you don't. So this is critical that we understand the process and that we understand what we came into, what we're receiving, and why we don't go back. It's imperative. And I think that when people understand that, you and I and everybody else, you know, you got to flat out reject it. And if you flat out reject it, the only thing I'm going to tell you is you were told. So I'm going to say to you, you were told. So when you have to go to the lake, don't be hemming and hawing. Don't be boo-hooing. Because the day that you were told, you rejected it. We shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. If you still hold on to that old man with his habits, with his ways, with the lust of his flesh, with his desire for alcohol and for tobacco and for weed and for sex. I mean, there are some things that there's a time and a place for everything. And all things, you know, I can say all things in moderation. But the most I don't want us to be consumed by what lust. Only thing we can think of, who we're going to sleep with next. You don't want us consumed with that. You don't want us consumed with, oh, I just got to have the cigarette. Can't even live a normal life because we got to have a cigarette in our mouth. Or we got to have this joint in our mouth. Or we got to have this alcohol. Or these prescription drugs. Or whatever it is. Got to have this man or this woman that don't belong to us. Got to have this, got this desire that, you know, I just got to be wealthy. So, whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever I need to get wealthy because either you count on your wealth to take care of you or you are looking at a pride, a position, a status. Either or, the Most High says, is not of him. So that old man was supposed to die. Now, I'm going to say this. And I say this because it comes back to Israel and our identity in the kingdom. If you believe that you are a Hebrew and that you are a Hebrew Israelite, then you should be doing everything you can to bring about the vision of the kingdom of the Most High. For that purpose were you formed. For that purpose did the Most High select our people. And if you're saying you're coming back into that and you're claiming that, but you're not doing that, what makes you any better than our forefathers? What makes us any better? You know, we're trying to stay in this land because it gives us liberty to do what we want to do. And we're at liberty to worship the Most High the way that he says to worship him. We're at liberty to establish his kingdom in the earth. And nobody's going to stop us and say, oh, you can't do that, especially in the land that we're in. Freedom of religion. Freedom to worship however you believe you want to worship. You want to worship Satan, you can. And can't nobody in this country tell you that it's illegal. Because it's the law of the land. Can be persecuted for what you worship. You can make anything your God, that ashtray, that joint, that vajayjay, that phallus, anything that you want, you can make your God in this country. This is not a Christian country. It's against the law, the Constitution. So here where the Most High put you at. I put you in a land that you could worship me however I said to worship me, and you choose not to. I want you to hear this. You choose not to. So you can say whatever you want to say. You can make whatever excuse you want to make. But I'm telling you, the Most High put us in the belly of the beast. In the belly of the beast, there's liberty, and you can do whatever you want to do. And you choose to do what's right in your own eyes and not what the Most High said. We are supposed to be here establishing his kingdom as his children. And we find all kind of reasons. We're not in our own land. You don't have to be in your own land. This land is not going to stop you. I pray we can hear this. because we're just going through the motions. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You're dead to that old man. You're supposed to be walking in the spirit. Supposed to be new spiritual creatures with the spirit of the Most High. That's another problem. Coming out of the water, trying to be good. Messiah said, you must be born of the water and of the spirit. We, the people of the Most High, are supposed to be in a land where we can worship how we want to. Nobody's going to come and say, you can't worship Yah. I can call my Elohim whatever I want to call him, and nobody can say I can't call him that by the law of the land. If you want to call him Jesus, you call him Jesus. If you want to call him Yahuwah, you call him Yahuwah. If you want to call him Jehovah, you call him Jehovah. If you want to call him Satan, you call him Satan. The law of the land won't stop you from doing that. And here we are with all this religious freedom, making excuses as to why we can't live the life that the Most High said to live. All we got to do is say, that's part of our religion, to keep the Sabbath. So many people are so afraid to go and say, here's the letter. We keep Sabbath. And if it's any way possible, they're supposed to allow you to do it. It ain't an absolute. But if it's any way possible, they're supposed to allow you to do it. And all you got to do is push it. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, meek in spirit, humbly, Father. Father, we just want to get it right. We want to understand the process, your wonderful work of salvation, and how you brought it about that we might become your children. Father, we don't want to take the gift of salvation. We don't want to take it with a slack heart. We don't want to take it for granted. We don't want to be hearers of your word only, but we want to be doers of it. Father, we appreciate, we reverence, we lift on high all of the work that Messiah did for us. And we will not take it lightly and take it for granted. We will not take our birthright for granted, but we shall esteem it and walk in it that we might bring you glory, Father, as your children. As your children, we should reflect you. We should be striving to be like you, Father. And to that end, Father, give us what we need, whether it's the willpower, whether it's your spirit, whether it's understanding in our minds and in our hearts. Give us what we need that we would walk before you as citizens of your kingdom, understanding that it's who and what we are, that we would embrace it, not only with our lips, but in action, Father. We know that all that you have said will come to pass. We believe it. So, Father, we await your return. We're not going to pray for it. We're going to start doing the work that you have called us to do, because I am convinced expect. You will not return until we do what you have told us to do. So, Father, strengthen us. Strengthen us to do the work. Strengthen our hearts and our minds that we will believe your word and that we will step into them and we will make them our word. And that we will not disappoint you and we will not disrespect you and we will not allow the world to disrespect you. We won't be acting one way, teaching one way, and doing another. We won't be hypocrites, Father. As we know to do better, Father, we will do better. And if we do not, Father, then you should do away with us. Because this is not something that we should take lightly. Be with every person, Father, that is within sound of my voice. Be with them. Encourage them. Send people into their lives that look at them as your child. Let them see that people see them as your child and that they would walk and be and represent you as your child. Let us be the light of the world in truth. And in spirit. Father, you know what we have need of. You know which one of us are walking and struggling, which one of us are doing the best that we can. Help each and every one, wherever we may be, remove any obstacles, remove any barriers, remove any stumbling blocks. Help your children to walk in your way. We need you. We need you now more than we ever have, more than we ever have realized. Help us. These things I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
This time we got.
Amen.
Amen. As we go our separate way, may the Most High encounter the angel of the land. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but the Most High Elohim loves you way more. Don't disappoint our Father. Shalom, family.
Shalom, bro.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, little sister.
Shalom.
Shalom.
walk, oh, one time, push a buck. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no need. I need a hand, cause I'm just